Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come back! Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between throwing it down. The Twisted Tuesday has begun. SiriusXM Channel 159. We're breaking it down. We got a lot of stuff to unpack. We've got Major League Baseball. We've got Wimbledon tennis, NFL news, signings, suspensions, NBA free agency rapidly approaching. The New York Knicks continue to shuffle the deck, and they're all in on Jalen Brunson. And it appears as though Jalen Brunson is all in on them. We're going to break it down. Mo DeKeel's going to step up and in and break it down. And we'll talk NBA basketball with Mo. Andrew McKinnis will kick it with us. We'll get into the CFL with McKinnis and more. Talk Major League Baseball. Get you caught up to date. We'll talk football. Brittany Griner and everything else in between. Serena Williams gets eliminated from Wimbledon, an early exit. And basically all hell broke loose at Wimbledon today. Wimbledon has arrived. I was waiting. I know we had the opening round stuff, but I don't know. What did it take? It took Kyrgios about 12 minutes, I believe it was. It was 12 minutes before he started melting down, smashing tennis balls into the stands. He actually spit at somebody today. He actually spit like today at somebody at Wimbledon. It's like, bro, like, you just... This is Wimbledon. I gotta tell you, man, if you guys are banning Russians and stuff, why don't you ban him? Why don't you ban him? I gotta tell you, if I was running the show, I mean, don't they kick people out of Wimbledon for, like, if their skirt's too short and stuff like that? I mean, there's been, like, wardrobe battles, man, at Wimbledon. And, like, Wimbledon are, like, very old school, Queen Elizabeth-ish. You can't be spitting at fans, man. he spat at the direction of a fan because a fan, I don't know, the fan was cheering for the other dude, like everyone else in the world that doesn't bet on you. Like, seriously, this guy's out of control. Like way, massively out of control. As I stated, it wasn't like it was one thing after another. Not to mention, he verbally abused the judge. He went off after, called the judge, like, I don't know, 90-year-olds and stuff like that, which it's the one thing I'm kind of going to agree with him with. He is right about that. He is right. There shouldn't, I've said it before, like, you know what I mean, like, The average male, I know, they start to lose their eyesight at like 40 years old. Your eyesight is just not as good. And, you know, you got all these, like, referees and judges and umpires and stuff. And especially in the NFL, you got like 72-year-old men and stuff running. He got into it with the umpire, got into it with the line judge, he got into it with a fan, he got into it with a steward. He got into it with the person that controls the video screen. And then after, he basically told the fans to suck it. He said, "Well, you guys want to, like, cheer against me. Don't be surprised if I spit at you." I thought he was going to kill that old dude with the ball for a second, too. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. The Twisted Tuesday has begun. And since it's Wimbledon, let's start off with Wimbledon. And because she kicks ass and she's so great, even though she lost, let's tip our cap to Serena Williams. Loses in the opening round of a major for just the third time in her career. The other two times came in 2012. And last year's Wimbledon, when she retired due to a hamstring injury, it's pretty clear that Serena is not the player that she once was. She lasted the test of time. I think you could argue she is the greatest female tennis player of all time. Listen, I've always been a Martina. Listen, Martina is as good as it gets, but the longevity of Serena and just how long she lasted in a sport that just terrorizes and burns people out as quickly as it does. So we tip our cap to Serena Williams. Let's be real. She's never going to win another major again. Like, she can't. Like, she's having problems getting through the first round now. She's having problems getting through the first round. So Rafael Nadal earned his 306 major win, matching Martina for fourth most by any player in history. Most wins in a major. Roger Federer, 369. Serena Williams, 365. Novak Djokovic, 328. Martina, 306. Rafael Nadal, 306. It's quite the list right there. So her resume speaks for itself. So all hell broke loose earlier today at Wimbledon, too. And listen, if you're not a big, like, tennis fan and stuff, like, it's sort of like we tell you about the Stanley Cup playoffs. Even if you're not a big hockey fan, you know what? You want to watch it just because it's crazy. So anytime that this dude, Nick Kyrgios, anytime this guy plays tennis, you want to watch it just because, like, if you like wrestling and you want a villain, this guy is, like, villain.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Public enemy number one. And today, it took him about 12 minutes before he completely started melting down. It's like the opening matches. It's 12 minutes in. Dude, like, he smashed a tennis ball. There was an old man about 4 feet away from him. Like, one of the steward dudes. And he smashed it. I was like, oh my God, is he about to hit this old dude in the face with the tennis ball? No, he smashed it into the stands. A fan heckled him, and then he spat in the direction of the fan. I would have kicked his sorry ass out and back to Australia. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. The pips, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. San Diego's leading Arizona 6-3 right now as we kick it on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. What's up, SoCal? Sirius XM 159 Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates and people watching our video feeds as well. So, yes, I mean, I have San Diego. They're up 6-3. The Los Angeles Dodgers tonight. It was basically the sportsbooks versus the world. And I knew, and it's funny because I'm the Dodger fan, and I had my doubts and reservations about this game tonight. I said it. If you tune in to Game Time Decisions tonight, I said, guys, you know, this stuff is sort of contagious. It's bizarre that it works out this way, but it does. Like I said, like, Colorado won the National Lacrosse League Championship. Then they won the Stanley Cup the other night. Like, and I said, now the Rockies are going to win a bunch of games in a row. It's just one of these deals. Like, you know what I mean? They won the Cup. Everyone's like, buzzing around Denver and stuff. And now the Dodgers roll into town. And the Rockies smoke the Dodgers. Cash big tickets two nights in a row. And everybody was on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Oh, late a run and a half. Oh, late two and a half. They're going to smoke them. It's Kershaw. And I said, nah, man, like, I was concerned. I just put them in a parlay. I played it. You know, it is what it is. I'll accept it. But it's frustrating. Listen, we still showed a profit tonight because all of our other baseball picks were so good, but it was frustrating. It's two nights in a row the Dodgers caused me a parlay. But I'm telling you, last night the Dodgers were in a bad spot, right? The Dodgers were in a bad spot. Thing is, Chad Kuhl sucks, for lack of a better term. So Chad Kuhl blows, and the Rockies were 1-8 in his last 9 starts. But, of course, and, you know, Anderson never loses. And then, of course, what happens, the Rockies shut him out. And then tonight it's Kershaw on the hill. And Colorado win again. Colorado win again. That's the famous last words, man, when you're laying big prices with these big favorites. Basically, if you're playing the Dodgers, you play them on the run line because they either win by two or more or they just lose the game. That's, you know, only four times this year have the Dodgers actually won a game by one run, which is pretty crazy. Only four times the run line has come in. Like, it's insane with the Dodgers. This is what they do, too, but I don't know. I guess Freddie Freeman. I don't know. What's up with this guy anyways? Seriously, Freddie. Like, chill out, bro. Like, man, these players that, like, leave teams and stuff like that, man. It's like, get over it, bro. You're living in Los Angeles. You're making a ton of money. And now what? You're all crying and stuff because you went back to Atlanta. You're sad now. You saw the ex-wife. He fired, like, oh, I don't like what happened and stuff like that. Thing is, Atlanta didn't want to re-sign you, bro. Right? That's the whole thing with Freddie Freeman. He wanted to stay with Atlanta. He wanted to stay. And they were like, you know what? Other teams are going to offer him all this crazy money, and we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. So, I don't know if his feelings are hurt or whatnot, but listen, you know, this thing is just sort of brewing right now, but it's interesting because the Freddie Freeman love fest was instant. And I got to be honest with you. I looked at him like a brave. I was like, man, I don't like, you know, I was like, what, we signing guys that beat us now? Right? So again, we lost Jansen. I was like, really? Like, come on, man. Like, and then, like, you know, the Freddie chance right from the start. So, they, you know, Freddie gets the VIP treatment. And now, like, there's the implication that he's upset. He's sad, right, that he's not with Atlanta. There's a great GIF, a great tweet out there with the L.A. Dodger hat with the L, but the Atlanta A. And it said Freddie Freeman's hat. Freddie Freeman's hat. So, yeah, the internet's blowing up a little bit right now. The Dodger fans are pretty chill, but there's like a few, like there's more than a few. There's a lot of F Freddie Freeman. Like, there's a lot of, you know what? We didn't even want you in the first place. We wanted to keep Seager. And people are like, it's getting hostile already, man. That's the whole thing, man. Fans will turn on your ass fast in sports, man. Like, look at Deebo Samuel. Look at Tyreek Hill saying he's getting death threats and stuff because he said that that Tua throws a better ball than Mahomes. He gets death threats. People are psychopaths. Listen, I'm a Dodger fan. I don't care. I just want Freddie. I just want him to win games. I don't care what Freddie Freeman's feelings are. I got to be honest with you. You know, he seems like a nice guy. He seems like he's a little overly emotional about this, to be honest. Whatever, bro. You won a World Series. You played there for a bunch of years. It's done, all right? Like, move on. Oh, boy. I got to tell you, it was 6-0. It's 6-4 right now. It's 6-4. Arizona keeps scoring. I don't like this. Bottom of the seventh inning. I don't like this. I've got money on San Diego. So, yeah, we opened up with a little tennis talk. And I, you know, it was sort of one of these nights tonight. We're going to sort of, you know, we're going to spray the board. We're going to hit, dabble and dip our beaks in a little bit of everything. But I'm dead serious. Like, listen, man, the name of the show is Sports Rage. I'm far from, like, you know, Queen Elizabeth, man, and, like, being uptight. I am old school, but I don't consider, I'm not uptight. But I got a problem if you're spitting at fans at Wimbledon. Like, you know, I believe the fan told him. I think the fan said to him after he hit one of the net, like, a return, he said, nice return. I think one of the British dudes sarcastically in the stands behind him said, nice return, Nick. And I believe that was the gist of it because you saw Kyrgios looking up at him. He goes, what'd you say, nice return? He goes, yeah. And so they were getting into it. And Kyrgios was sort of like, he didn't try to kick the guy out or anything, but he sort of like, when he sat down, he got into it with the guy and he's sort of yelling at everyone. So he's making a big scene. I'm not exaggerating. Like I said, he got into it with the judge. He called them like dumb 90-year-old men after and stuff. He got into it with the judge. He got into it with one of the stewards. I don't even know what a steward does. The steward, like the boss of the ball boys. Like I said, he smashed a tennis ball once into the stands. I thought it was going to hit the old guy in the face. Like I'm telling you, it was kind of a jerk move. Like, he kind of wound up, like, so the old guy sort of thought, this guy might be, like, aiming at me, right? But at the last second, he popped it up in the air type thing into the stands. And then after, when he won the match, after he actually won, that's when he turned around and he walked back to the area where the fan was and he spit in the fan's direction. And then he took the microphone and he told the fans, you guys were pretty rowdy and you want to cheer against me, then, you know. And after at the press conference, he was asked about the spit and he basically did not apologize. He said, if you want to come to here and criticize me and cheer against me, I'm going to spit at you. It's like, dude, like, no, you're not. No, you're not. I'd be rolling up with the, what are they there? What do they call them out there? The dudes with the hats and stuff. I'd be sending the Royal Guard down there. I'd be sending the Royal Guard. I'd be sending like Queen Elizabeth's like Secret Service down there. I'd be like, listen, like, you're done. You're out. You know, but these new tennis players, these guys are all out of control. Look at that Chapeau guy. Chapeau, the Canadian kid. He told the fans to shut the F up the other night in Italy, like a couple of weeks ago. Would you shut the F up when they were heckling? Like, he's telling the fans to shut the F up. Kyrgios is spitting at fans. And, you know, who's that other guy? The German guy. Medvedev? What's that guy's name? What's that guy's name? Whatever the guy's name is. Zverev. Yeah, whatever. The Russian-sounding German guy. So, yeah, that guy. That guy, like, smashed his...
Another one. Medvedev is a jerk, too.
yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. They're all whatever. So, the Zverev guy, you remember when he smashed his racket, like, on the ladder, like, where the judge sits? But he did it, like, right near Buddy's feet, man. Like, he went up, and he's like, oh, and he starts yelling at the guy, and he starts smashing, swinging the racket. And I noticed, like, nothing happens to them, Matthias. They're not, like, kicked out. They're not, like, so... Like, they're out of control. They're out of control. Like, dude, like, to me, like, Kyrgios, you've been warm, bro. Like I said, you didn't...
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spit at the fan. It was sort of whatever. You spat. And I get, you know, everyone knew what you did. Whatever. I'm watching you. Like, one more transgression, I'd kick his ass out of the tournament.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Don't ruin your appetites. I'm buying lunch for everybody on me.
Wow. What's the occasion?
I'm rich. I won my bets on the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, and I chunked it all on a hockey game, and I won that.
All right. How much did you win?
$116.
What a windfall. Yeah,
I still feel tingly.
Well, I promise you, there's a lot of people out there that lost $116 and more on the Los Angeles Dodgers tonight. I am Gabe Morenci. Clayton Kershaw gives up. So he's allowed six-plus earned runs for the first time since June 19th, 2017. Snaps a streak of 106 consecutive starts, allowing five earned runs or less. It's 106 consecutive starts. Of course, tonight was one of those nights that everybody loaded up on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Dodgers run line. Oh, there's no way. They were in a bad spot last night. They're going to bounce back tonight. I had my doubts. I had my concerns. And I ended up losing a parlay. But I'm telling you, man. You know, that's baseball betting is tricky like that. People think, oh, there's no way that a good team's gonna lose again. No, they can. And often these good teams will lose against bad teams. That was a big series the Dodgers went through with the Braves, and clearly, it has it's had its toll on them. All right, I believe we got Andrew McKinnis ready to step up and in from Wager Talk. Is McKinnis with us? Are you ready to rock, McKinnis? What's going on, McKinnis?
I sure hope I'm here, Gabe. Am I here? You got me?
Yeah, you're here. Well, you have self-doubt about yourself. Yeah, you're here.
I never know, but happy to be here with you, Gabe. What's going on, man?
All right, we're doing all right. A lot of stuff going on here. So the hockey season is done right now, but the draft is around the corner. And it is pretty crazy that Shane Wright's odds keep coming down. Right? Like Shane Wright to be the number one pick, to be the number one pick in the draft. He was 12 to 1, guys. It was minus 1250 like last week. It came down to like minus 950. Then it was like, all right, minus 750. It's actually all the way down to minus 320 right now. And I said the other night when it was 12 to 1, it was one of those deals where it was nothing against Shane Wright. But I said, for betting purposes, I guess you just got to take Slavusky, essentially, because in case the Habs don't do it, I still think the Montreal Canadiens will take Shane Wright. And they got him up at minus 320 right now. But I got to tell you, it wouldn't like completely shock and blow me away if they did end up taking this Slavosky kid. He's plus 140 right now. What do you think that they do, McInnes?
Well, I'll tell you what, Gabe, if they don't take Shane Wright, there's going to be an absolute riot in downtown Montreal. That's for sure. I mean, it seems like all the fans want Wright. He's been the guy for many, many years projected to be this number one overall pick. And like you said, Slavosky, you know, starts.
Oh, hold on. Let me just say one thing, though, about the Canadian fans drink the Kool-Aid no matter what they do. So they'll accept whatever happens. They'll like what they're told to like. All right. So go on, though, after that. Go on.
Well, you know, Shane Wright's been that guy for several years now. I mean, he's one of those generational players that's listed as, it's not often that you see the number one. Usually it's a top three ranking that's constantly moving up and down throughout, you know, several year span. Shane Wright's been projected to be this number one overall pick for, you know, what feels like 4 or 5 years now. And Slavosky, the thing with him is that it's kind of one of those things where experience comes into play. Who have you played against? You know, how experienced are the players you're playing against? What level of competition are you playing against? And what have you won, really?
Slavosky's played against better competition, in my opinion.
Yes. And that's really the thing that I think that people are starting to like about him. But the thing is, Shane Wright is a center. And I read something today where people say centers are what you draft, wingers are what you trade for. And I kept on reading that article, and you look at with Shane Wright, I mean, you get Shane Wright, you're going to have two centers for 10 to 15 years with him and Nick Suzuki, you know. But you get Slavosky, and you're going to have a dynamic line pretty much right away on your top line. But I think Shane Wright's the guy. I think, number one, he's really, really strong two-way player. Everybody wants that flashy guy, Gabe. Everybody wants to talk about the guy that's going to put the puck in the net. And, of course, the Canadians need that. But, you know, he's got a great shot. But what I liked, actually, in his last year, his scoring went down. He turned into more of a playmaker. He said it in several interviews recently, you know, on a two-on-one, what are you doing, passing or shooting? He said shooting, of course. Goals feel better. But in his last OHL season, he turned into more of a playmaker. He turned into what a captain is supposed to be, and that's a team-first player. And I think the Canadians do need a player like that. They also need a goal scorer. But like you just said, Slavosky, the one thing with him, you know, Olympics, world champions, big, skilled, you know, able to play against more experienced players already. He's already proven that. But I think Shane Wright's the guy for the number one overall pick. But I agree that it's becoming a lot closer than it was before. And I don't think it should have been, you know, as big of a betting favorite. So from what you just said, if I heard you correctly, you recommended people to take Slavosky just based on the odds. And
yeah,
that was a smart idea.
That was before the move. Yeah, I've had a lot of these
plus
smart
140
ideas.
Now, Gabe?
Yeah, yeah. He was like, he was plus 1,500 before. He's plus 140 now.
Yeah, I mean, there's no point now, is there? I mean, if you're, there's, I mean, you missed the
boat.
That's
insane. Right? Totally agree. No, now I'd be like, you know what? I'll put Shane Wright in a parlay to be the top pick now. Minus 320. No. And shout out to our boy Nick. Nick in Chicago said he got a piece of Slavkovsky. The only thing is, if they think Slavkovsky is some sort of offensive star, they might go for it. You know what I mean? The Canadians haven't had a 50-goal scorer since Stéphane Richer. It was a long time ago, right? They haven't had a 100-point score since Mats Naslund. It was 1986. So they might think, yeah, Shane Wright is really good and he's this two-way guy and all this, but the Slovakian kid is like a superstar. It'd be interesting. You know, I still think they go Wright as well. And me personally, I would go with Shane Wright. Because if you're the Canadians, don't overthink it. Don't screw this up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't like get all cute and stuff. Just go with the safe pick. That's Shane Wright, and then plug along. And he's a good fit. Like, he's you know what I mean? As they say, he's a Patrice Bergeron type. So FanDuel actually does start, and they're starting to expand it a little bit. They've got correct order up, so you can go Wright, Slavkovsky, Cooley, -115, Slavkovsky. That's the bet right there. Wright, Slavkovsky, Cooley. At -115, correct order. Slavkovsky, Wright, and Cooley is +170. Wright, Cooley, Slavkovsky is 11-1. That's not going to happen. The Devils are going to snap up Slavkovsky.
Slavkovsky is a great pick for the Devils, you know. And not to mention, the Devils have several European players, which is just, I don't care what anybody says, it's nice for a player to feel comfortable. And you go in there, you've already got a bunch of centers. He's a winger that will accept passes on the wing. He's absolutely has lots of speed, and he'll score for you. And it's not like the Canadians don't need scoring, but they need a guy like Wright that can be responsible on both ends. I think, to your point there about Montreal looking for a guy like Wright, just as much as the Habs need Wright, the Devils need Slavkovsky.
Andrew McKittis kicking it with us. I think Slavkovsky is a great fit for the New Jersey Devils. As far as the draft order is concerned, Arizona goes third, Seattle Kraken fourth, Philadelphia Flyers fifth. Draft is next week in Montreal, and the Montreal Canadiens actually do have the top pick. So it's Montreal Canadiens, New Jersey Devils. Montreal Canadiens, New Jersey Devils, Arizona Coyotes, Seattle Kraken, Philadelphia Flyers, Columbus Blue Jackets with the sixth pick, Ottawa with the seventh pick, eight, and then eight Detroit, nine Buffalo. From what I understand, too, that there's basically like nine really good players here. That's what I've heard from a couple of different scouting outlets and stuff, that there's a little bit of a drop-off, but there's a strong top nine on the board here. So hockey season is done. I was saying this last night, McKinnis. You know, I think it would be a good idea. The NHL, they should copy and do what the NBA did and does, and have a NHL Summer League. NHL Summer League of the prospects and stuff. You know, draft picks, prospects, kids that are trying to make the team and all that. They already have the rookie camps and their little rookie tournaments, so just call it the Summer League and get numbers up for it. They already have FanDuel as their official sponsor. Put some numbers up for it, and we'll bet some Summer League hockey, McKinnis.
I think it'd be awesome. And I think, you know what? It would give lots of exposure to the prospects, which is something that I've tried to do a lot more personally, not just for the Canadians, which are my favorite team, but for all kinds of other teams. And it helps as a fan and someone that talks about the game, but also as a sports bettor, people would enjoy that. People love to learn about the next generation of players. And I really feel like not just because of the betting aspect, but NBA Summer League has helped fans get to know their teams at a younger level. You know, the G League players that might be popping up a little bit and that kind of stuff. And, you know, just...
You know what, though? I got to be honest with you. I don't really think the fans watch it. I got to be honest. I think it's the betters.
Betting?
Yeah. I think there's like the hardcores that want to see the rookie. Oh my God, Jaden Ivey, how'd he do in his first ever pro game in the Summer League? You know, there is that interest. I was in Vegas when Zion played his first game, and it was massive. And it was an earthquake. There's never an earthquake. There was an earthquake in Vegas. I was standing on the strip. I'm like,
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Is there just an earthquake? And yeah, there was. Zion's game got canceled. That's how his career started. Sign of things to come.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What we call outsider art. It could be by a mental patient or a hillbilly or a chimpanzee.
Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi, the pimps, the punks, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Andrew McKinnon is kicking it with us. We're going to get into some CFL football. Week 3 kicks off on Thursday. We'll get you the ESPN TV schedule. Alexander in our chat. I don't know where you're at, Alexander. Alexander says he doesn't love any of the United States Hockey League prospects, and he says, I am American, have seen them. For the record, I just saw a thing about the draft tonight, actually. I saw a draft special, and they were breaking down the first-round prospects by country. So, yeah, where are you at, Alexander? You in Pittsburgh? I know Mike's in Tampa, obviously, because his handle is Mike in Tampa. nine Canadians, because they were bitching about there was only nine Canadians. They're like, there's only nine Canadians going to go in the first round. There's only two Canadians going to go in the top 10. There were eight Americans, nine Canadians, and the rest is like all Europe and stuff. If you guys notice, essentially, basically, Finland is taking the NHL over, McInnes. That's the moral of the story. The Finns have basically ruined every kid's goalie's life that comes from Montreal and Quebec. Goalies used to exclusively be from Montreal and Quebec in the NHL. Like, you'd have your random guy from somewhere else, but it was essentially, you know, even all the movies, the stereotype, the typecast, the goalie was always French, right? He's always the French guy. And if you look like a good example is McKinnis, Roberto Luongo is going into the Hall of Fame, right? They announced this yesterday. Roberto Luongo is going into the Hall of Fame. He's fourth all times on the win list. The three guys ahead of him, Martin Brodeur, Patrick Roy, Marc-Andre Fleury, all from Quebec, right? Yeah, Montreal area, Quebec City. So all Montreal or Quebec City. Now, I swear to God, off the top of my head, I would say that probably about 45, maybe 50% of the goalies in the NHL are finished now, bro. But there's Russians, too. Russians, too. The good Russian goalies suddenly now. Russian goalies used to not be very good, but a lot of Russian goalies now. Shesterkin, Vasilevsky, Georgiev, all those guys.
Absolutely. You know, I think back to watching, we're talking about prospects, you know, NHL, Summer League, that kind of stuff. Well, we're going to get a certain type of Summer League with the World Junior Hockey this summer in August. But, Gabe, I think back to watching the World Juniors and, you know, Canada's playing a team like Finland, or even they're playing a team like Latvia. And it's the goaltenders that are stealing the show. It's not because of great defense, not because their forwards are matching them up. It's because the goaltenders are just standing on their heads. And, throughout the years, Finnish goaltending has just gotten better and better and better. And like you said, Canadian goaltending has kind of fallen down a little bit. I mean, remember when Carter Hart was supposed to be our next big goaltender? They were calling him the next Carey Price. What happened to that? I know he plays for Philadelphia, but I don't know. These European goaltenders are starting to take over.
If there was actually an Olympics this past year, Team Canada was in trouble. Like, they were going to want Carey Price to play, and he wasn't even playing. You know what I mean? Like, they really have. The United States is very deep with goaltending now, too. American hockey is coming on. Just as a whole, look at Austin Matthews and his success. But we'll get into some football lines. But there's a big story today with Hockey Canada, which is like their junior program and all that. And basically, they're just a bunch of perverts, and they're covering up like sexual assault and lawsuits, and they're out of control. So, not one of them. Eight players, McInnes. Like, really? Like, so you got eight players that have, they settled lawsuits, except this is like public money and stuff. Right. So, and they won't answer any questions. Well, what did you give this girl? What did you give these victims $3 million for? They won't say. Well, there's a non-disclosure. Who was involved?
And basically, like now, dude, like the whole, the why I bring this up, guys, because the word is that a couple of these guys are in the NHL now, right? And Batman wants to know, right? I don't think he wants to know, but he doesn't really have a choice now. So,
well, it's a good rot. I mean, it's not just those guys are fourth liners. These are guys that are, a lot of them, superstars now in the league.
If you would assume if they were on Team Canada, yeah, they're not no names, right? If they were on Team Canada, you're right. Like, so, and that's the whole thing. So, like, some people are saying, so in other words, there could be eight people in the NHL right now that settled some sort of, like, Deshaun Watson type thing, except worse. And just like the Washington football team that got called in front of the Canadian government, and they didn't answer anything. Oh, we don't know. No, we can't answer. We'll look. We'll get back to you on that. They don't want to say who it is, who the eight players are. They're all called John Doe. They don't want to say anything. So, and they basically think they're above everything, right? So tonight, well, tonight they got punched in the mouth for real. Scotiabank, Canadian Tire, and TELUS cell phone all pulled their sponsorship. It was pretty serious. Like, you got a problem when, like, you know, you can't sell hockey in Canada because no one wants to be associated with it. And they're all giving the money to victims groups and stuff. Like, it's a disaster. What the hell's going on in Canada? There's a soccer program, too. The Canadian team went on strike because there's a bunch of corrupt people, like, making $1 million a year on the Federation and stuff. People think corruption's just in, like, Central America and stuff. It's not. It's everywhere. So, CFL football on Thursday, McInnes. Let's do this thing. I'm fired up. We've been crushing this league. Been crushing the USFL as well. We got football on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and even Monday night football. CFL Monday night, 4th of July special. But Thursday night, let's get it started. Thursday night, BC Lions and the Ottawa Red Blacks. ESPN Plus. BC Lions all the way down to 2.5 point favorites right now. Total 47.5. McInnes, who you got?
Well, I just think that number is that it's just far too short. You know, the Ottawa Red Blacks, they had to play the back-to-back defending, you know, Grey Cup champion Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and they did an okay job in that. But you know what? I think I'm going to give a lot of credit to Winnipeg's defense. And I got to immediately here in week three, I've had a great 3 weeks, all 3 weeks profitable. But I said to you on your show in week one or week two, I didn't think Winnipeg's defense was going to be as good. And you know what? I was proven wrong right away, at least against those two games. But I actually think this game goes over the posted total here, Gabe. I like the side, but I like the over the best here at 47.5. Just the way that BC is stretching the field, going downfield. Not only just that, yards after catch. I saw a kind of a map today showing all kinds of spots, you know, all the targets where Rourke is throwing the ball. And I was absolutely shocked, Gabe, to see that he's not actually gone deep, deep, deep downfield too often. It's actually just been his receivers just extending these plays big time. So many athletic guys and countless options for him. And, of course, the buzz around Nathan Rourke right now in the CFL is just huge. And the Ottawa Red Blacks, I watched both their games so far. They're fresh off a bye. They've looked better than what their scoreboard dictates. You know, I'll give them credit for that. I didn't think they would be as good as they seemed right away. And I know that might sound kind of funny for a team that has scored 12 points and 17 points, but they actually have played some decent ball. They've you know, had a couple plays they probably wish they had to get back. And I think BC's a team that's going to be involved in some higher scoring contests for the majority of the season. So I like over 47.5 here, but I think that Ottawa moves to 0-3.
And for the record, I stand corrected. It's ESPN2. It's ESPN2 now. All right, so it's going to be on ESPN2. This is the schedule. ESPN2 tomorrow night, BC at Ottawa, 7:30 Eastern time. Or I should say tomorrow, technically, wherever you are. That's Thursday night. Edmonton at Hamilton is ESPN+. On Friday night, Saturday night, Montreal at Saskatchewan, ESPN2. And then Monday night is the ESPN+, the 4th of July. So good stuff. ESPN2 tomorrow night for BC and Ottawa. I do agree with, I think we can get there with the over. You know, it depends on Ottawa if they're going to be able to convert in the red zone, which they have a hard time doing. But they did play against a very good, you know, they've opened up against, you know, they had to play the Winnipeg Blue Bombers twice, so I get that. You know, I think also, listen, BC are a little beat up, McKissick, and everybody, a lot of people are going to talk about the bad spot that BC are in. And they kind of are. And we've seen other teams in their same spot this year get drilled when they go to the East Coast. But I get the feeling that BC are, like, for real, real. I think a lot of people are looking for them to sort of, like, come back down to earth or, like, really, really stumble this week because they're on the road for the first time. And I'm not sure they will either. I think they'll be able to put points up on the board. I think Ottawa will be able to put up enough as well. I do agree with the over. And I tell you, it's down to 2.5 right now. You know, BC were like minus 190 on the money line before. It's minus 134 at FanDuel right now. Edmonton Elks and a Hamilton Tiger Cats. Tiger Cats and both these teams are whatever. They're both 0-3. So somebody's got to win a football game. Tiger Cats lay 6.5 here, 46.5. I actually do think the Tiger Cats roll these guys on Friday.
Well, they better. You know, this is a big game here for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. They can't keep, you know, giving up games like this, but they are a different team than what we've seen in years past. They just are. I mean, whether it's, you know, their offensive line, whether it's, you know, Dane Evans behind center. I mean, Dane Evans has actually, you know, been at the top of the league, you know, been up there as far as, you know, passing yards. So it's not really his fault. The offense hasn't been able to convert. The defense allowed a big, big comeback as far as, you know, that game against Calgary is concerned. So there's lots of question marks for me as far as Hamilton goes. But Edmonton, look, I was happy. I made money with them last week, Gabe. I had them. They scored a field goal for me late in the game. They covered. But, you know, you talk about spots in the CFL, teams traveling west to east here in situations like that. I agree with you as far as Hamilton here. But I'll be honest, I'm not excited about betting it. You know,
yeah.
This isn't my favorite play of the week. If anything, I would take under 46.5 and challenge these teams to give you and I, a quality football game where they're trading points. You know what I mean? I mean,
I would say there will be
light it up either.
I think Hamilton will be able to move the ball on them. And listen, I was on Edmonton last week. I took them plus the points and I covered it. And not a lot of people thought I was crazy and it was too high. Calgary aren't great favorites and they ended up winning by 7, but we were getting 9.
Yeah.
But if you look at Edmonton, they played every week. They've been in a tough spot, right? They opened up in Vancouver. They got blasted 59-17. The next week, they go home. They play against Saskatchewan, who's pretty good. They lose by 10. They battle. Then they got to go to Calgary, and Calgary are really good. They haven't had an easy start, and now they're playing their fourth week in a row. Now they're going to the East Coast. I think it sort of catches up to them because they're playing better, but they're still not great. You know what I mean? And like you said, Hamilton are in a desperate situation here, but I'm not in love with laying 6.5 either. Yeah. But I think it's a good
teaser.
It's
one of those things, Gabe, where it's kind of like, what has Hamilton done to prove to us they deserve this? They deserve this number of 6.5. That's the thing for me that's making me be like, ah.
Dane Evans is good, but he's not great, right? Kid from Tulsa, he's good, but he's not great. It's like Masoli. That's why the Ottawa, they move the ball down the field, but he has a hard time actually scoring a touchdown, right? And whatever the game's on the line, he doesn't make the play. You know, it's sort of a rinse and repeat with these guys. Montreal Alouettes, they drilled Saskatchewan last week. This should be payback where Saskatchewan are going to get them. There should be points in this game, guys, because Saskatchewan's offense struggles a little bit, but they're back home and they're not going to be happy. The Alouettes drilled them. It was like 33-3. More of McKinnis on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, turns out Alex is in the Bay Area. He's a San Jose Shark fan. SJ Sharky. I've got McKinnis with it just for a couple more moments. So as we stated, tomorrow night's game is on ESPN2. And we kick it on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. BC at Ottawa, 7:30 Eastern Time, ESPN2. Friday night, 7:30 Eastern Time. Edmonton and Hamilton. I like Hamilton in the over. Montreal at Saskatchewan. I think the Alouettes could be in trouble here, McInnes. They ran a score up on the Riders last week. This is going to be payback. They played last Thursday. Riders are laying 3.5. And we got a Monday nighter on the 4th of July on ESPN+. Winnipeg at Toronto. What do you think about the other games on the way out here?
It's just, you know, it's you love seeing these back-to-back games here in the CFL, Montreal and Saskatchewan. Everything that could have gone right for Montreal went right. You and I both catch a ticket there. They start the game off with a kick return, touchdown. You know, Harris, 16 and 22, 262 yards. The defense was just unbelievable. I think the 8 sacks, a touchdown, 3 interceptions. Everything, you know, that could have gone right went right, Gabe. And everything that could have went wrong for Saskatchewan went wrong. And, of course, something else that went wrong was losing Shaq Evans, who will not be with them again. A huge receiver and a big loss for them. Look, I haven't made a bet on this one yet, and I think that the spot, a lot of handicappers are going to be saying it's a revenge spot, it's a revenge spot. You know, they're going home and home. But, you know, I think Montreal hung around, and they looked solid, and that injury to Saskatchewan I think is huge. The biggest concern for me was actually Saskatchewan's offensive line. You know, we saw Cody Fajardo on the run pretty much the entire game. And how much does protection change?
We've got 30 seconds here, McInnes.
Leaning towards the Alouettes here, actually, at +3.5. And as far as the Bombers and the Argonauts, give me the Argonauts +4.5 at home after embarrassing loss last week.
Andrew McInnes, McInnes Picks on Twitter. All right, good stuff, Andrew. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us tonight.
Thanks a lot, Gabe. Good luck this week.
I can't believe this baseball game's 6-6 now. Like, are you kidding me? 6-6! Bring it!
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.